Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's EHS podcast for the week ending May 29th. My name is Alan Nguyen.
And I'm Allison Granke.
And we'll be bringing you the latest news in environmental health and safety. So, Allison, I believe you're going to start us off with a story coming from the EPA.
Yeah, so this week the EPA finalized the Clean Water Rule. The agency believes that the new rule will make permitting less costly as well as easier and faster for businesses because it more clearly defines water that is protected under the Clean Water Act. So industries affected include agriculture and oil, and industry representatives are expected to fight the rule. Though EPA Administrator Gene McCarthy says that the new rule only expands the Clean Water Act's reach by about 3%. Farmers, however, believe that the rule has the potential to massively cut production on their lands. The rule's primary aim is to protect U.S. streams and wetlands from pollution. The administration argues that pollution upstream affects pollution downstream and therefore has a negative impact on the health of the population and the economy. America's smaller streams provide drinkable water to 117 million Americans. According to Gina McCarthy, without a newly clarifying rule, one in three Americans would have their water threatened by pollution. The new rule doesn't create any new permitting requirements for agriculture and maintains all previous exemptions and exclusions. So exemptions that are preserved include activities like planting, harvesting, and moving livestock. Support is largely split along party lines, and Republicans and agriculture lobbies have called the water rule an infringement of Americans' property rights. The new rule also doesn't regulate groundwater or shallow subsurface flows, and it doesn't change policy on irrigation or water transfers. So we can expect to hear a lot more about this rule as different groups make their thoughts known. If you check out Twitter, the hashtag WATIS, which stands for Water of the United States, has taken on a bit of a life of its own. So for more information on the Clean Water Rule, you can check out the resources section of this podcast, where you can find a link to the EPA's page on the rule, which includes fact sheets, some background information, a video, and a couple more cool things. And Alan, you have some safety tips for healthcare workers.
Yeah, so the healthcare industry is the fastest growing sector in the U.S. It employs nearly 18 million workers, and the majority of its workforce are women, at 80%. Healthcare workers are exposed to several health and safety hazards on the job, and illness and non-fatal injuries in the health sector are the highest in the U.S. Common health risks include back injuries, drug exposure, laser hazards, radioactive material and x-ray hazards, workplace violence and stress, among others. So according to a report conducted by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, one in five non-fatal occupational injuries reported in 2013 occurred among healthcare workers. There were a reported 66,910 cases of occupational musculoskeletal disorder, also known as MSD, reported among healthcare workers and social workers. Although these types of injuries are difficult to eliminate, there are some tips that can help workers in the healthcare sector alleviate and reduce the risk of potential injuries. So with that in mind, here are a few safety tips that hopefully can help you cope with work-related injuries in your workplace. So the first thing is to start off by taking the necessary precautions to avoid any quote-unquote bloodborne pathogens. Healthcare workers are constantly in contact with patients' body fluids and are therefore exposed to bloodborne pathogens. Healthcare workers should therefore look to take the necessary precautions to protect themselves, such as wearing protective equipment to avoid contamination. Gloves, safety goggles, and face shields can go a long way in protecting workers from skin exposure to body fluids. Some of these best practices include practicing hand hygiene, using disinfectants on your skin, and cleaning and decontamination of instruments. Tip number two is to be careful with sharp injuries. Medical facilities are often contaminated with sharp objects, and therefore it's important for medical facilities to have a disposable system in place for these particular objects, and training should be provided to employees on how to handle these objects. Another tip which relates to protecting yourself from MSD is to use assistive devices such as slip sheets, slings, and electronic hoists whenever possible. If these devices are not accessible, another option would be to use proper technique when lifting certain objects. And finally, the last tip for protecting yourself from injuries is to train your employees to be safe against chemical hazards. It seems like a no-brainer, but things like wearing safety gloves and protective eyewear when handling chemical substances do go a long way in keeping workers safe. Appropriate training programs should be provided to workers to ensure that every employee follows the proper protocol. And if you're looking for more tips on how to keep your workers safe, we provided a link in the resource section of this podcast if you're interested in learning more. And Allison, I believe you have a story coming from Walmart?
Yeah, so Walmart announced recently that they will be adopting a new animal welfare policy. And as the largest food retailer in the U.S., Walmart's new policy could have far-reaching implications for the industry. The policy applies to all the company's U.S. operations, and it engages the company's entire supply chain. So it covers a wide range of issues, which include antibiotic use, housing systems, and more. Suppliers must demonstrate that they are being proactive in eliminating animal abuse from their operations. Walmart suppliers will be required to report cases of animal abuses and take corrective actions, find and implement solutions to address concerns about housing systems, painful procedures, and euthanasia or slaughter. Suppliers must also provide progress reports to Walmart and publicly report on their corporate animal welfare position annually. So animal rights groups are calling the policy groundbreaking, which is generally a sign that Walmart's policy appears to be the real deal. Walmart's new policy embraces the five freedoms of animal welfare laid out by the Farm Animal Welfare Council. So these freedoms include freedom from hunger and thirst, freedom from discomfort, freedom from pain, injury, or disease, freedom to express normal behavior, and freedom from fear and distress. Kathleen McLaughlin, president for the Walmart Foundation and senior vice president of Walmart Sustainability, said in a statement that Walmart is committed to selling products that sustain people and the environment. So it should be interesting to see what kind of a ripple effect this policy may have across the industry. And Alan, you have an update for us on the California oil spill.
Yeah, so last week an offshore pipeline belonging to a Texas-based oil company ruptured and released over 100,000 gallons of crude oil on the Santa Barbara coastline, which has claimed to have shut down the flow of oil, and the culvert carrying the oil to the ocean was blocked. Reports have indicated that roughly a fifth of the oil managed to make its way down to open water. It's the worst oil spill to hit the Santa Barbara coastline since 1969, when 4.2 million gallons of oil spilled onto the Pacific and sparked a national environmental legislation, which triggered a modern environmental movement. At the moment, there is no estimate on the cost of the cleanup efforts, and officials are saying that it may take a few weeks or even months after the evacuation and inspection of the broken pipeline to determine the cause of the spill. Among those affected by the spill are animals, including birds, elephant seals, and sea lions, who have all been treated by volunteers and workers from various wildlife organizations. The full extent of the number of animals affected by the oil spill has yet to be determined. However, investigators have already found carcasses of pelicans, sea lions, elephant seals, and dolphins soaked in petroleum. The massive oil spill comes on the heels of California's recent historical drought, which has devastated farms in the state and has led to unprecedented restrictions on water usage. And if that wasn't enough, the state also suffered another blow last week when a rubber dam in the East Bay of San Francisco was deflated, resulting in nearly 50 million gallons of drinking water flowing into the San Francisco Bay. At this point, authorities are not sure as to the motive for the deflating dam. However, it does raise questions as to the security of the nation's infrastructure. So definitely trying times for the state of California. And we'll keep our listeners updated on the situation in the upcoming weeks. If you'd like to learn more about the story, be sure to check out the resource section of this podcast. And that concludes this week's EHS podcast. If you're interested in any of the stories that we covered this week, be sure to check out the resource links. And as always, thanks for listening.